Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 171 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacket. Thanks for joining me again. It's been about 5 weeks. We're on summer hours right now, so we only do a podcast every 5 weeks or so just for for two podcasts. And as a result, we've got a ton of stuff to cover with you. Among the topics are the Liberals' desperation to roll some type of buyback out, at least a pilot project. So they're trying a pilot where they're now asking retired RCMP to come back to work to run this crazy buyback scheme of theirs. We'll talk a little bit about what's going on with that. Also, the grizzly bear hunt apparently is back on in Alberta. Populations have exploded, and now we're having some rather negative interactions with humans. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And as well, public safety is an absolute disaster in Canada right now. I don't know if you've seen it, but if you're watching the legacy media, you can't avoid it. Let's talk about what the why this is and what the Liberals are doing about it. Anyway, all that and more on this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. But before we get started, let's hear from our sponsors. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. And thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. Need a new boomstick? Bullseye North is Canada's shooting superstore and a proud supporter of the CCFR. With a wide selection of guns and top trending gear for any shooter, they have what you need. Plus, free shipping over $250, which includes ammo, or flat rate shipping of $17 under $250. Some conditions apply. Subscribe to their weekly newsletter to get first access to the hottest deals. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR Radio Podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right, we are back. So I've got a couple of housekeeping items to share with you, and then we'll move on to Tracy. Now, Tracy's going to be with us probably for the duration. I don't have too much to say or to tell you right now, other than Tracy's going to be on with us for the duration because it's been 5 weeks since we put out a podcast. And as you know, we're on our summer schedule, so we have 2 month or 5 week breaks throughout the summer through the podcast. And then we're back on every 2 weeks all the way around the year to the first week of July. So why is Tracy on for the duration? Because there's so much to talk about that we actually left out about 40% of the list of stuff that we had over the last 5 weeks. And that's amazing to me. Parliament isn't even sitting. Most people are gone. Everything slows down during the summer in Canada because the season's not that long in most of the country, certainly. And there's so much going on that negatively affects, I guess, the lives of all Canadians, but in particular of licensed gun owners, that we got this huge list of stuff that we got to talk about. That's amazing to me. That's how malevolent this government, and it's not just the Liberals, right? Remember, they are 100% supported by the NDP, the Bloc Québécois, and the two crazy Greens. It's all four of those parties, right? The Liberals and the other three that are working in concert, pretending to oppose each other here and there to create the semblance that there's, you know, there's a bunch of seats at the table, but there really isn't. These people, if they didn't support them, we would be in election mode right now, but they don't. But that's how much their attacks on law-abiding gun owners and against just regular citizens of Canada, this is the mess they're making, supported by those other three parties. So much so that we have so much to talk about over 5 weeks in the summer when Parliament isn't sitting, that we have to stroke off half of our list and then, you know, we have to spend the entire podcast talking about it. Pretty wild, man. Anyway, as I mentioned, we're on our summer schedule. So the next podcast, this is my housekeeping item here, is going to be on September the 5th. Okay, so it'll be another 4 weeks till the next podcast. And after that, every 2 weeks again, all the way around the calendar to, as I said, the first week of July, with the exception of maybe Christmas. Usually we get an extra week stuffed into the schedule there. The only other thing I want to mention is I've mentioned before that I do the podcast and our nationally broadcast television show on WOW TV at the same time every 2 weeks normally, but now on our summer schedule. And the reason I bring this up is I just finished episode 23 of CCFR Radio on the air on WOW TV, and it was the season finale of season 3. So for 3 full seasons, the Gun Lobby, for the first time in Canadian history, has had a regular television series on nationally broadcast linear television. Pretty interesting. Kind of a testament of how much we've had to oppose over the last, 8.5 years of liberal rule in Canada. And the good news is we're renewed for another season. Season 4 starts second week in September as well. So we'll be in our 4th season of a nationally broadcast television show. Pretty awesome, right? I think it's quite an accomplishment for the Gun Lobby, you know, in Canada. We've never had that kind of influence before ever. So kind of neat, right? And I'm really thankful to have a part in that, by the way. It's a lot of work, I'll tell you, doing that every 2 weeks, because we don't exist specifically to do podcasts and television shows. We do advocacy, although the television show has become a really big piece of advocacy to have access to that big market. But we have a lot of other work to do and some projects coming up, and I'll tell you more about that in a future podcast, including the secret project that's still ongoing, the project that I tease you with, but I can't tell you much about. But anyway, all right. So as I mentioned, September 5th will be the next podcast. I had some other things I was going to talk about, but the podcast is going to be a little bit long as it is. So we're going to get started right now by bringing on Tracy Wilson from the CCFR. All right. Via Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Wilson! Wilson!
There it is. Gil Tacko, what's going on?
Not much, man. How's your summer going?
It's going good. There's only 1 month left until the House of Commons resumes. I can't wait.
I can wait.
I know. Only bad things happen here, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to. Obviously, we have to keep the ship afloat, right? So there's still work to do. But I'm trying to get a little bit of rest, and now I don't want it to end.
I know. Well, I don't blame you, but you know me. I'm always ready for a fight. So
yeah.
I can't wait for the House to come back.
Between crises, I've been working on my tan, so you know.
Nice. Good job.
Well, thanks, man. Okay. All right. We actually have a lot of stuff to talk about, so we might as well launch into it. You know, there was a really interesting story. Another aspect of the government flailing around trying to get their dreaded and ill-fated buyback program off the ground. I mean, they spent coming up $50 million and still haven't done basically anything. What's the skinny on that?
Yeah, this was actually a really big scoop by the gun blog. So shout out to Nick. He got a really good scoop here. And basically what happened was Public Safety sent a letter to J Division of the RCMP reservists out in New Brunswick. Now, when you think of reservists, it's not like military reservists, which are usually young people or people signing up for kind of a part-time deal. Reservists with the RCMP are retired or ex-law enforcement. So basically they're begging them to come out and do this this confiscation program. Now, you'll remember, they've already asked the RCMP, they've asked law enforcement, they've asked the Army, they've asked Canada Post, they've tried to compel Canada Post, and now they're looking for RCMP reservists, ex-police, to go and kick in doors and confiscate guns from legal gun owners. But no word yet if they'll take the job. But I know personally that a lot of these guys are actually gun guys. So I don't know, it seems like nobody wants to touch this.
Well, I wouldn't blame them. It's like it's definitely a hot potato.
Yeah.
And you're right. There are a lot of RCMP that are licensed gun owners that have lost their AR-15s. And a lot of these guys bought AR-15s so that they could train on their own time, because the RCMP use AR-15s.
Right.
And you know what's kind of funny about that is you have kind of a profile of person. maybe a little bit more harder on the left side of the political spectrum that are like completely against the militarization of the police, right? They're complaining that the police have so-called assault rifles, which they aren't. The RCMP does not have full autos. They have semi-autos like civilians do. But they complain about the militarization of the police. Then at the same time, they're like, well, nobody needs an AR-15 other than the military and police, for one. And the which is always the irony when you're dealing with these kinds of people. But the other thing, too, is what struck me about this story is, you know, the relationship between the population, between civilian Canadians, regular citizens, and the RCMP has been strained for decades. And it continues to be, the strain is increasing as we see the unholy alliance between the leadership at the RCMP and the Liberal Party of Canada. It's not, you know, people don't enjoy seeing that kind of stuff. And I don't know what the RCMP's, retired RCMP's role in a buyback, in the confiscation of the firearms from licensed gun owners. I can see that really negatively affecting, further negatively affecting the relationship between the RCMP and civilians.
Yeah, I don't think there's an upside to it. I think, you know, the Liberals at Public Safety are under a lot of pressure by Polly and other groups to get this going. But nobody wants to do it. And even if they got a couple of reservists out of J Division in New Brunswick to do it, the scale of the amount of resources, people, technology, storage, transport, like the stuff they need to actually do this on a national scale is almost incalculable. So, it's just another failure, but really cool scoop by the gun blog. You can check out on his website. He's got the letter there.
Yep, good job by Nick there to scoop that one up. All right, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about when it comes to public safety, because public safety is really front and center in the news cycle right now, and it has been actually for a long time, but it was particularly intense over the last week. So just as a setup, because we have quite a few things to share and some things to discuss, but just as a setup. The Liberals are such an interesting group of people, right? They have completely failed. They've made Canada more chaotic and more dangerous than it's been in, I think, since the beginning of statistics. So in the late 70s with StatsCan, it's never been worse. And then at the same time, they, just like, I guess, every other aspect of their communication with the public, they gaslight Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
And they're bragging. They're out there bragging right now about what a great job they're doing in keeping Canadians safe. And I just wanted to preface our conversation with an old clip. I think we rolled this one out, I don't know, whatever, right, 15 episodes ago. But it's such a great example. And it's Jennifer O'Connell talking about the Conservatives' failures of public safety and then laughing about how the Conservatives are blaming the Liberals for this crime wave. Anyway, you may remember it, so check this out.
To my honorable colleague, I don't know if he was here earlier, but the opposition House leader, she came in her speech and read out statistics of gun violence. And in fact, she tried to blame Liberals for an increase in violence. However, it's actually under the very legislation that Conservatives enacted with mandatory minimums that saw an increase in crime rates. So could the member speak about...
Order. Let's get the question.
I don't know. I wear it with a badge of honor. I don't know who upsets the opposition more, myself or the member for Kingston and the Islands. But when it comes to the fact that the Conservatives had failed policies when it came to the criminal justice system, can my honorable member comment on their failures?
That's the best you've done.
The member for...
And in fact, she tried to blame liberals for an increase in violence.
Honestly, she has got to be one of the most annoying people in the House of Commons, you know, and I hate to say that, but she's absolutely gaslighting Canadians. In fact, just in the last week, I've been looking, just in the last week, and this is just a small highlight of some of the crimes that have been going on in Canada. We had a violent home invasion in Brampton, three linked violent shootings in Hamilton, a flamethrower attack, a drive-by at a Chuck's Roadhouse restaurant, an armed carjacking in Richmond Hill. A 17-year-old girl was killed by a violent repeat offender ex-boyfriend, a gangland double shooting in Vancouver, five people shot and injured in a gang shooting in Africville, an 82-year-old veteran randomly attacked and beaten, a BC woman randomly attacked outside her house. Seven out of eight gang members in a Surrey Langley drug and gun bust are back out on the street. They're already out. Three people shot and in critical condition after 40 shots fired in a gangland shooting in Montreal. And wanted murderer shoots cop and is apprehended in Toronto. So that literally just happened. The TPS got him. He shot a cop, but he was already wanted for a previous murder. So it's just crazy statistics and crazy numbers and crazy violent crime coming out. And they don't seem to have any solution at all or take responsibility for it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Crime and chaos. And then, of course, there's that story about the ISIS, the father and son ISIS duo that got citizenship, apparently.
Yeah, this is even crazier. So back in July 10th, the Conservatives demanded that SECU reconvene, that's a public safety committee, reconvene to discuss a new report that 256 people were charged with murder while out on bail in 2023. So I thought, wow, that's crazy. That's like 256 people have committed murder while they're out on bail. Like, talk about soft on crime. Well, yesterday, August 6th, the CPC once again demanded that SECU be reconvened after a father and son ISIS terrorist team is foiled by the RCMP. They were planning a violent terror attack in Toronto. Now, the father appeared in 2015 ISIS video just prior to successfully immigrating to Canada and getting a full citizenship. In this video, he used a machete to hack off the hands and feet of a man tied to a crucifix out in the desert. Security experts everywhere have been saying that this process has absolutely failed. And where's the public safety minister? I went to look on Dominic LeBlanc's Twitter feed to see where he's at. He's on the barbecue circuit, completely oblivious to the chaos and crime that's happening in Canada.
Yeah, well, that's how these guys roll, I guess. And, I think we opened this whole segment on public safety with Jennifer O'Connell, you know, gaslighting Canadians, gaslighting the House of Commons, all the rest of that stuff. And then even if you look at like Marco Mendicino's tweets, you look at Marcy Ian's tweets, you look at Dominic LeBlanc's tweets, they're all bragging about their record on public safety.
Oh, yeah.
And, an interesting thing, I'm reminded of that story that came out, that bust that the Toronto Police Service, I think it was Toronto Police Service, I'm 98% sure it was them, but they did this, they did some kind of sting operation. They seized 71 firearms and 69 of them, I guess it was all of them but two, were traced back to the United States. And, you know, it's funny, like, we don't control, like, the gun lobby does not control the Toronto Police Service, but they went out of their way to say, basically, all of these guns came from the United States.
Yeah.
And what is the Liberal government doing to, you know, as far as, how are they justifying bragging about their record on safety? We're taking guns away from licensed gun owners and we're ready to spend $5 billion doing it. And sacrifice the relationship between the government and licensed gun owners, and sacrifice the relationship between the RCMP and, you know, everyday Canadians. Like, I don't know. It's clown world. It's upside down world.
Yeah. Well, I keep saying one of these days I'm going to get a big red nose and pop it on when we're talking about this stuff. But it literally gets worse as we go. So I don't know. I think an election couldn't happen soon enough. I think we need it if we want to make it.
Yeah, if there's anybody that voted for the Liberal government in the last three elections and that has a keen interest in public safety, like if you're okay with what the Liberals have done in public safety, like I don't know what to say to you. Like, I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
to you.
Like, I don't.
People are literally dying because of the chicanery they're involved in, you know?
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, soft on crime policies literally kill people. And
pretty crazy. So. I will agree with you that an election can't come fast enough. But anyway,
Now
I do realize that that's a little depressing, but it was It was news that had to be covered. I mean, that list that you ran through, not to, you know, beat the point to death, but the list that you ran through, that was a week.
And that's not even everything.
Yeah.
That's the big stuff.
Wild. Anyway, all right. So there was this, this is a bit of a sensitive one, but there was this this video that was circulating around on the internet and through the legacy media as well, I think, of this Sikh wedding. I think it was in BC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was in Surrey, I believe.
Yeah, so the Sikh wedding where the wedding goers were dancing around with semi-auto firearms over their heads, and it's gotten a mixed reaction from a lot of people.
Yeah, so apparently the RCMP have seized some of the guns, but they're, you know, at the time of recording anyways, there's been no charges laid. I do have mixed feelings about it, too. A lot of people sent it to me and wanted to know what I thought of it. And it's, you know, the libertarian in me says if no laws are being broken, we should probably mind our own business. But the advocate in me says that we spend so much time and energy and resources promoting and practicing safe firearm handling, you know, and reaching out to normies to try and normalize gun ownership, that I can say this isn't super helpful. You know, Ian Runkle did a video kind of exploring if any parts of this were actually illegal. And there's a few points that he made where these guys might get themselves in charges, particularly for the charge of pointing a firearm when one of the guests, I guess, you know, was flailing around while dancing and basically sweeping the other guests. So, you know, I think for most of us, we, you know, we're so critical of each other, even when we post a picture online. If you're not so super careful, you know, to see this is a little shocking. So, yeah, I got mixed feelings because, you know, if somebody's not breaking the law, you should stay out of it. But at the same time, you know, I want to convert normies. So I don't know. I got mixed feelings about it myself.
Yeah. At the same time, it's not a great look.
No, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the everyday Canadian sees that and they're like, holy man, how did they get a hold of those guns? And then here comes the big, you know, uninformed gun control debate. The gun control dialogue, you know, follows directly after that. So it's, I don't know, it's a tough one. I
yeah,
agree.
It's like bait for the anti-gunners. So I just give it to them.
Anyway, that's a difficult one. But no one was hurt, to my knowledge.
No shots
were discharged, to my knowledge. But anyway.
Yeah.
So that's
not
a tough
great
one.
Yeah.
You know, another story that's circulating around right now is, I guess the backstory on this is, a couple of years ago, grizzly hunting was banned in British Columbia. There was a lot of grizzly bear hunting in British Columbia on Vancouver Island and also in the interior and a few other places too. And the BC government banned it. And then grizzly populations started exploding. And I guess there was something similar going on in Alberta or something like that. I'm not sure because I'm not from Alberta. And then I guess the pinnacle of that kind of happened last year, where a couple, and I believe they were around Banff, were attacked and torn to shreds, killed by a grizzly last year, even though they emptied a can of bear spray at the bear. Now, the Alberta government has decided that they're going to have a limited entry, is my understanding. I could be wrong on that detail, but it's my understanding that there's going to be limited entry hunting for grizzlies again in Alberta. And you have all of these anti-hunting people saying, like, this is ridiculous, poor grizzlies, you know? I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I don't know. So basically what you're telling me is that hunting and conservation are intrinsically linked, and that the proper management of wildlife ensures that there's resources and space for everybody, and that we can kind of live in harmony with animals while still respecting their space. Who knew? You know, instead of just letting them run wild. Animals are literally a renewable resource. They're the original renewable resource. So yes, there's a way to manage them properly, keep their numbers in check. And to me, if you don't want to see any of that, the thing is you're living in their space, right? So
yeah,
then you should move to the forest. You know, you see that creeping anti-hunt sentiment. You know, before it was mostly against like black gun owners or handgun owners, and hunters always felt safe. And this is a topic that we talk about in a lot of the big organizations, you know, that, yeah, you're seeing this creeping anti-hunting sentiment, and yeah, that's it in action.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have to properly manage your wildlife if you want to live in harmony with them.
Yeah. And that's, and that, that anti-hunting sentiment is just getting worse all the time. So anyway, something we have to be aware of and be pushing back against all the time.
All the time.
You know, there was another, yet another interesting story since we've been off for whatever, 5 weeks, or off the show at least. I would love to be off for 5 weeks, actually. Wouldn't that be nice, right?
I don't even know, like 5 days.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, five uninterrupted days would be cool. But the province of Alberta is launching the Alberta Bill of Rights. And then there's been some chatter that it was going to include rights directly referred to as firearm rights, and then that there isn't, or there's waffling, or whatever. It's not readily apparent what the details are, but we've been getting some correspondence from people talking about what that whole thing was. So you looked into it a little bit, and you might have a little bit to share.
Yeah, I had some conversations with some people who are involved with it, with the policy making and ministers. And basically, Alberta, the UCP looks at it as it is their responsibility as a government to craft legislation that protects the rights of their citizens. I know, it sounds crazy, right? I don't know. It's a foreign thought these days in Canada. But in any event, part of this these amendments to the Alberta Bill of Rights would be enshrine property rights into them. And of course, we all know that firearms are basically just private property. So there's some debate about whether it needs to specifically name firearms or if firearms would be included. And of course, we know that what really motivates legislators and lawmakers is when you apply proper, strict pressure. So my advice to everybody in Alberta, you know, the rest of us, unfortunately, don't have a government that cares about us that much. But for those Albertans that this is important to, what you need to do is reach out to your MLAs, reach out to the minister, reach out to the entire cabinet, because they're the ones who ultimately will make the decision of what gets included in the bill and what doesn't, and let them know that firearms are important to you and they're important to the people around you, and that you give them good, firm, confident support, that you're going to support them if they do these things for you, and that you're not going to vote for them if they don't. So, you know, that's my advice. If you're looking for help, you know, with some wording, you can reach out to tracy.wilson@ccfr.ca. I'm going to kind of write up something very simple, and I'll share that out with you guys. It'll also be on my social media. But yeah, I mean, look, Alberta's got our back as firearms owners, but sometimes it's okay to just put your hand on their back and give them a little bit of firm pressure to make sure that they're doing the things that matter most to you. So, yeah, I mean, God bless Alberta, because they're always, usually always doing the right thing on this stuff. Yeah,
well, they've done more than any other province.
Yes,
you know, has for law-abiding gun owners. So we're appreciative Absolutely. Of that. But yeah, of course, like you said, it doesn't hurt to let them know that you will continue to support them, even if they do, you know, directly mention firearms. And I also want to agree with what you said. It's not exclusively necessary. And, you know, of course, keep in mind, right, they have to be approach things in the most politically reasonable way, because it's not just firearm owners that vote, and
right.
and they need to stay in power to protect the rights of Albertans. So they can't do it if they're not in power. So anyway, there's some kind of balance there.
That's right.
Anyway, we're getting close to the end. So you and Anna McIntosh, one of our best female field officers ever, were in British Columbia for the CCFR Gunny Girls calendar shoot just a little while ago.
Yeah, that's right. So Anna McIntosh is actually the VP of the CCFR Women's Program. And her and I jumped on a plane and we headed out to beautiful Agassiz, BC, almost in your neck of the woods. Almost. In fact, it is your neck of the woods, because we came and saw you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You took us out on the lake, and that was great. We had some friends who donated their time and effort, let us come out on the boats. We got some cool pictures of the girls, enjoyed a really great time up on top of Sasquatch Mountain. And I mean, like, literally on top of it. It was an insane road to get up there. But we captured some beautiful moments met some really cool girls, some friendships there that are still going strong to this day. And yeah, kind of adding to it. And of course, in a couple of weeks' time, Anna and I will be heading to the Eastern Girls photo shoot here in Ontario in the beautiful Blue Mountain region. And we're going to be doing it all again with the girls out here. So it's just, yeah, lots of fun. And those retreat weekends are just, I'm actually going to produce a little video on those one day, because it's more than just making a calendar. It's making lifetime friends. And that's what it's about.
Well, it is. And I will admit a little. I don't think it's a secret that the calendar is not my favorite project at the CCFR. Yeah. Just because it can be sensitive. And mm-hmm. We may have talked about it before. I mean, this is the podcast, so we do have time to kind of kick things around in a little bit more detail than we do on the television show. But of course, I just find it a little bit sensitive, right? There's some people that are like, well, we think it's kind of, you know, exploitive. And then you answer that by saying, well, women have full agency of their own decisions in their own lives, what they can't make their own decisions because there are no men involved whatsoever in that project.
Yeah.
And so kind of both positions are reasonable. And I just, you know, I have enough controversy in what I have to do for the CCFR. I didn't need more. So I was like, oh, man, you know, this project, is it worth it? But I was really never involved in what goes on with the making of the calendar or whatever. And it was pretty neat. And I the calendar is getting better and better. Just kind of the look and the way that it's positioned, you know, it's taken us a few years to kind of get that balance right. And I've come away being involved at least for a few days with it. And I think it is actually a pretty cool project. And I think there is value for CCFR members in continuing that. I mean, it's a group of ladies and of course you guys creating that project and creating a product out of it, which gets sold, and the money that gets raised goes back into the women's programming. So it does get spread around properly. I don't know if that makes sense. Like it is worth doing as far as I've seen personally. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we want to help, you know, at least sponsor or contribute to ladies' range days all across the country, where women have the, you know, who maybe wouldn't have the opportunity to ever try guns, get to come out, give them a try, and at least open their mind to what it's all about. But it takes money to do that. All of us know when you go to the range, people ask me all the time, oh, can you take me out for a range day? Well, sure, I can and I do, but it costs a fortune, right? So we needed a way to raise money. And this is like women doing it for other women, right? Like these calendars, although I'm sure they are bought predominantly by men, lots of women buy them too. But realistically, they're for women because all of that money raised goes back into ladies' range days. So yeah, it is a cool project and I'm proud of it. And I know we take a little bit of heat for it and I gladly wear it, but I stand by it. And I love, you know, we're in, 2017 was the first year we did it. So it's, you know, some time behind this project now. And I've got to say, there's friends I made back in 2017 doing the calendar that we're still friends with now. Our network of women in the shooting sports has only expanded every year. And I love that part.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I mean, does that actually translate into events? And this is a rhetorical question I'm asking because I have to do 3 Ladies Day sponsorship stipends today.
That's
like
right.
In one day.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Rangers from all across the country are now picking this up and saying, hey, we want to host a Ladies Range Day. How do we do it? Well, you send us an email, info@ccfr.ca. We've got kind of a template that you can use it if you want, use parts of it. It just kind of helps you. It's basically any other range day, but targeting for women. And then we send t-shirts and hats for prizing. We'll send you a little bit of money. If we've got volunteers in the area, we send them as well. And then we've got girls who have been in the calendar who are now volunteers with the program, who are volunteering to be an RSO at range days and stuff. So it's all intertwined and it literally just keeps recirculating back into itself and growing and growing and growing. I said when we were up in BC to Anna that I would love to do a calendar alumni, because each year you get these two groups. We've got an Eastern photo shoot and a Western photo shoot. these two groups of women, and they all become friends, and they're friends with us, and we're friends with them, you know, and then year after year, it just keeps happening. And I feel like I would love just a big reunion with everybody to get together and just keep growing the unit. So yeah, I just love them, and it's super fun. It's a pet project that I'll never apologize for. I love it.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. Yeah. But anyway, all right. Moving on. Oh, when does it come out, by the way? Is it November?
That'll come out. Yeah, like just before Christmas. It'll be out in time to order it for Christmas, so keep your eyes open. But yeah, either the end of November, beginning of December. And of course, we'll have everybody, all hands on deck down in the shop, filling those orders to make sure you get them under your tree. So,
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Last but not least, you and I will both be at TACCOM this year.
Yeah, I'm really excited. Yeah. TACCOM is coming up September 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's literally just around the corner. The bad news is summer, that means summer is over. But the good news is that we'll be at TACCOM. So that'll be held at the International Center in beautiful Mississauga, just outside Toronto. It's right close to the airport, so if you want to fly in for it, it's perfect. The CCFR will have our regular booth there. We've got a little bit bigger booth this year. Tons of volunteers, tons of swag for sale. We'll have raffles, memberships, all kinds of fun stuff going on. But we also have our Quebec team coming in. So a huge thank you to them. They're going to set up their laser range. It'll be free for everyone to try. I'm sure we'll have competitions going all day. It's all in good fun. So come on down and try it. And then, of course, the CCFR is proud to sponsor the main stage once again this year. So watch the TACCOM Canada website. There should be a list of speakers coming out. I've got a couple of my own things going on that stage. And so do you. And yeah, it'll just be a wonderful time. So it's a great opportunity to get the whole community together, check out some cool guns and gear, and just hang out with all the cool people.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, you might think with all this gun control, whether it's worth it to go to TACCOM. It absolutely is. And I think this will be kind of a historic one. I think the first TACCOM, if you remember, well, not the actual real first one, because it was kind of a pilot one that was at Firearms Outlet Canada and right. Where their range is way back in the day. But it was the first real one at the International Center. Was awesome. It was it was just chaos. There was so many people there and it was so much good stuff, although we were used to what we could buy on the market back then. And it was like, oh, it's going to be great to do every year. And then right away, the gun ban started, right? And consecutively. So we lost, you know, all the May 1st, 2020 gun ban firearms for the next year. Then we lost handguns the following year after that. And, you know, like, so it's been, the hits have kept coming. But this...
Well, we had COVID in there. So stuff was all locked down, shut down.
Yeah.
You know, there wasn't shows. So it's been a total struggle. But hey, man. Just keep going.
But I think this is going to be the last year that you're going to see without a bunch of our guns back. This is the optimistic vision that I have, because I actually do kind of believe it. I think we're going to get all our stuff back. It may take some time, but there could be some stopgap measures coming once there's an election. But this one is going to be interesting. And it's also probably well worth it just to kind of reconnect with your community. There are quite a few new firearms that are on the market, stuff like that, and to reconnect and get together and keep our community and our traditions alive, I think. So that's why I'm flying across the country to go and appear there as well again this year. So anyway.
Yeah.
It'd be great to see everybody
can't wait.
There.
I love it. Yeah, I loved
it. For sure.
Good time.
All right. Mm-hmm. We covered everything, man.
We did it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the update. And I guess we will see you in about 5 weeks-ish on the next one.
Okay, we'll see you then.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 171 for the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for watching. Really appreciate it. As I mentioned in the intro, you won't see another episode of the podcast till September the 5th, probably about another month, depending on when you're watching this. And then we'll be back on a regular schedule every second week all the way around to July again. Anyway, the good news and the bad news is there's always lots of news to talk about, I guess, in this crazy country, at least for now. All right. Last thing I'm going to ask of you is to share the podcast. If you have friends that are gun owners, share the podcast. Tell them to get involved in some way. They don't have to look at this stuff every day, but they should watch the podcast every second week or once a month or whatever. Maybe they should get on our email mailing list. We only send one email per week unless it's an absolute emergency. So you don't have to worry about getting spammed by us, sending an email a day or every few days. We don't do that. So get on our mailing list, or maybe they watch WOW TV, tell them to watch our show. It's really important that we get gun owners involved at any level that we possibly can, because you can't oppose anything effectively if you don't know what's going on. So that's really important. Think about all the people in your life that are gun owners and whether or not they're at least subscribed to our email list. Really, really important. Now, in the next podcast, I'm going to have some really cool news for you. Well, I'm hoping everything, working is the way it's supposed to. So make sure that you don't miss that one on September the 5th. All right. Thanks so much for your support. If you want to become a member or donate to the CCFR, you can by going to ccfr.ca. You can also find us at firearmrights.ca. Either one of those will get you there. Thanks so much for your support. Take care, everyone. We'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.